Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about how to turn your faith loose. How to turn your faith loose. Let's just, before we get going, just to ramp up, I know we've turned to these scriptures many times, but just to get people on the same page, let's turn over to Romans 10. Let's go to these two verses real quick. Romans 10. And then Mark 11, and then we'll get into some things here. Romans 10 and Mark 11. God is a good God. Mark 11, Romans 10. We'll go to Romans 10 first. Romans 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We spent a lot of time covering some of these verses in recent times. Those are all on the website. But it says here, if you confess with your mouth, this is showing us how to get saved, how you get saved initially, how we came to faith, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believed it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, you needed faith in your heart and in your mouth. Faith is always in two places. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same way we got saved is the same way we believe unto anything. That's the same way you attain. You believe in your heart, and you speak it with your mouth. When you say something with your mouth, this is not just empty words. Just like when you say something in a court of law, it's binding. Well, so many of us, we haven't realized what our words are doing on this earth. We are either putting ourselves, allowing God to work in our life by our declarations, or we're allowing the enemy access into our life. If we say we can't, that I'm defeated, that I'll never get anywhere, we are giving Satan access, whether we realize it or not. And this verse, the same way we became saved, we believed in our heart and we spoke with our mouth, is the same way you believe unto healing, is the same way you believe unto anything. You attain it. You believe with your heart, you speak with your mouth. Let's turn over to Mark 11, 22. Verse 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever. He didn't say, just you disciples in front of me, or just a select few. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. We've talked about that. In his heart, we just read that if we believe in our heart, that is what is important. Your heart is your spirit, man, the real you, the part of you that is alive to God, the part that was recreated when you were born again. If you were bald before you got born again, you're still bald. Your brain did not get wiped away, thank God. And that wasn't born again, because if your brain became new, all of a sudden you're standing there, who am I? What's my name? No, you had all your memories, but your spirit that was dead became a new creature. Corinthians says, you're a new creation. So that's where we believe. Right now, as we're speaking the word of God, the part of you that it's speaking to is your spirit. That's the part of you that's alive to God. That's the part that's being quickened right now. It's your spirit. It's not your head, although it goes through your head because it goes into your ears. It's processed by your brain, but it's your spirit that we're teaching right now. It's not our heads. Some things the spirit that your head doesn't understand, can't wrap around, but your spirit is jumping up and down. You know, your spirit can understand things that your head hasn't caught up with yet. You can say, yeah, that's right. I mean, how many of you understand the virgin birth with your head? How many of you understand with your head how Jesus could go to the cross and shed his blood and that paid the penalty for everybody's sin, past, present, future, the whole world? Could you write a paper on that and tell me? Prove that? But your heart says that's true. I believe that. And this is where people get hung up. Well, I just can't understand. I can't. We talked about this. I can't understand. I can't. Until I understand, until you answer all my questions, I can't believe. That's not believing. I'm not saying you shut your brain off. We're saying faith is of the heart. So you believe with your heart. We don't look to where our little brains can understand. We're not going to comprehend everything about God and his ways with our head. We have to take it by faith. So if the word says something, we need to say, God's word says it. I believe it. That settles it. And this is how natural circumstances can change. Because it's not magic. It's if God ordains something and we agree with him, now his power is kicking in. And how do we let that loose in our life? We believe it with our heart and we speak it out and say, this will happen. What does that do? That gives God legal authority on this earth to back up our words. What happens when we say, I'm never going to make it, I'm defeated, this will always stay in my life? God has already sent Jesus. He has already paid the price. But we are saying, you can't do anything. We are legally tying his hands. Some people don't like that. They say, well, God should just come in anyway. Does God want anybody to go to hell? Why doesn't he just save them? He can't. People have the ability. Every one of us decrees what's going to happen in our life. That's when we say, Jesus, you're Lord, and we believe it, something happened. Why did that happen? It happened because we gave God legal right to make that happen. When we declare the opposite of God's word, we give the enemy right to come in and to hold us bonded, in bondage and captivity. It says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So we're just recapping a little bit. We went over those verses. I want to read a couple of the statements we read last week, or whenever we met last on Wednesdays. It's been a while. I want to read a couple of these things. The greatest things that will ever happen to you will occur when you move out into this faith realm of believing and saying, but the intellect and the physical senses will fight you every step of the way to keep you from moving into this realm. That's because the physical or natural mind, if it isn't renewed by the Word of God, wants to hold you in the natural realm. Everything about this world is telling you this is all there is. All the commercials you see, they're not most of them. I can't think of one I've seen. Maybe there's some Christmas ones that would hint at God, but majority of them, they're not reminding you of God. They're not reminding you that there's another realm. Most people don't believe that. Most people don't believe that the spirit is the reality that created the natural. So you're not reminded of that just by going through your normal life. They probably didn't. When you were at work today, you weren't reminded of that. No, it was all about what is here now, your physical senses, what you can see and touch and taste and so forth. Brother Hagin said this. He said, the Lord once said to me, so many have barely touched that spiritual realm. Yea, enter into it briefly. You briefly enter into it, being filled with the Spirit and speaking with tongues. Why not enter on into it? Yea, go on out, even into the deep things of mine, for surely your every desire shall be granted, and the fullness of God shall be yours to enjoy. That's reality. We are not meant. We are aliens here. We are. Why does your as a Christian, your heart yearns for something more? Why is it? Because we're not made just for this. This is a fallen world. This isn't, people say, well, boy, the world's messed up. If God created the world, is this the best you could do? This isn't the way he created it. It's been corrupted. We're living in a fallen world, but we're in this world, but we're not of it. And we're going to spend eternity in another realm. You're in it. You're looking at flesh and blood right now, but you're not looking at the real gym. Every one of us, what we're looking out through these windows that we call eyes, but our heart is the real person. When a person dies, their spirit leaves. This is just an earth suit. This is all this is just an earth suit. We're here for a short period of time, but we're going to spend eternity in that other realm. But while we're here, we need to be conscious of the fact that this isn't all there is. And when we do that, if we can wrap our heart around that, then we can be conscious when there's certain things going on in our lives. We can be conscious of the fact that this is subject to change. This isn't forever. What I'm seeing isn't eternal. It can change. But God's word is not going to change. So when push comes to shove, we need to side with God and his word. Because his word won't change. But if we'll hold to his word, circumstances will change, can change. Something has to give. If God said it, we're not talking about making things up. We're talking about following in line with what the Almighty already said that is ours through Jesus. And if we say it, part of the way we release this and the way it becomes real is that we declare it in our lives. I want to read this to you. First I'll say this. We talk about testimonies. Sometimes people come up and give testimonies, or you're just talking to somebody, and they're telling you about what God did for them. Well, is that glorifying God? A testimony? What he did for you? That's glorifying God. Well, then what is it when you talk about all the stuff that's going wrong in your life? Who is that glorifying? What this has gone bad, and I'm still sick on this, and boy, this relationship's going horrible, my kids are this, and who is that glorifying? If it would be glorifying God to say, God delivered me from this, this person came out, my body's whole and healthy, then what is it when we talk negative? We are glorifying the devil. If you talk about what the devil is doing and what he has done, you are glorifying the devil. And many times people miss it by making the wrong confession. They lose the blessing and they are defeated and life is a grind for them. Whether you're doing that unconsciously or consciously. There are answers here. Because the world will never tell you this. With your mouth, you are either going to give God dominion over you or you are going to give Satan dominion over you. Satan is the god of this world. We read that last week. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he will move right into your life if you permit him to. And we've talked about this. Have you ever noticed that you can feel pressure? You're under pressure for something. Maybe under financial pressure or your body. Or just at your job or whatever. When you start talking about it and speaking it out and saying what is and how this is going wrong and that's going wrong and you start speaking it out, something rises up. The pressure gets worse. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. There's a reason why that's happening. It's because when we yield our mouth to what Satan is doing, we are giving him dominion over us. We're saying, you are dominating me. You're going to continue to dominate me. I'm never going to beat this thing. I'm not going to get through it. Because there are spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. Let's turn over to, in a minute. I'll talk about fear for a moment. Don't ever talk about what you're afraid of. Don't say, I'm afraid of this. Now, we're not talking about denial. But don't talk about how you're afraid of something and talk about your fears. You give place to the enemy when you start saying, I'm afraid of something. So turn over to 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 7. This is a familiar verse of Scripture for some people. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if there are fears coming at you, you're tempted. You can be tempted with fear. Just like you can be tempted with stealing. Did you know it? Now, most of us in here, you would say, I'm not, when was the last time you were really tempted to steal? But people are tempted to steal. Some people give into that and they're stealing, but you wouldn't be bragging on that. If you were tempted to steal, you go, wow, I was tempted to steal the other day. I was in Walmart and barely got out of there. I mean, I almost couldn't control myself. You wouldn't be telling people that. But people will tell each other how scared they are of stuff all the time. It's the same thing. It's the enemy. A lot of ways it's not worse, but it's all evil. It's not good. But you can have symptoms of fear, just like you can have symptoms of sickness. That doesn't mean you need to accept it. And when you say, I am afraid, I'm afraid of that, you are yielding to the enemy. You're yielding to the enemy. Afterwards. You are yielding your mouth and yielding to what you may feel fear. You could be knocking, your knees could be knocking together. That does not mean you have to give in to fear. The hair on your neck could be standing up. That does not mean you have to yield to it. You resist it. You resist fear. Because what we just read in 2 Timothy, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I have a spirit that is sound. I have a spirit of power. So if I'm feeling fear, I resist it and say, no, I'm not going to fear. Fear is of the enemy. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is that something negative, bad is going to happen to you. And you have, it's basically faith in the negative. You believe that has more power to hurt you than God has power to keep you. Don't ever start saying, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of this. No, just because fear is on the outside, don't let it in. Don't take it as your own. Don't let it in. Oh no, I'm just so afraid. I just don't know what's going to happen. No, when we do that, we give the enemy place in our lives. We have a spirit of power, so we need to say, When we're in the middle of feeling afraid, we have feelings of being afraid, we need to say, no, I have a spirit of power. In the middle of feeling afraid. No, I have a spirit of power. I will not yield to fear. Now, that's easier said than done. Because you don't feel like doing that. You want to give. Fear can be so gripping. I mean, you look at what happens. Like a mob mentality. Those people are not thinking rationally. They're not thinking clearly. Something has gripped them. It's irrational. It is a spiritual force, and we don't have any business playing with that. The Bible says in James 4:7, in case you're not familiar with that, let's just turn over there real quick. James 4:7. James 4:7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Does it say, resist the devil, and if you feel really strong and you say it really loud, he'll flee from you? If you feel like you're really super spiritual and you resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. This is critical. I know we laugh, but this is where it is, because most people, they say, I don't feel like it. Let me ask you something. Has anybody in recent times, you're driving down the road and there's a policeman that's directing traffic? Anybody ran into a policeman directing traffic or near a school where they stop you? Let me ask you something. When that policeman holds up his hand, does he have the ability in himself to stop your car? In other words, would he? If you were to lay your foot on the accelerator, would he be able to stop it? No. Why do you stop? Because he has authority. Because if you run him over, somebody's going to be coming after you. The state, city, somebody's coming after you, and they're going to search you out, because the authority is a state trooper. The authority of the state of Massachusetts is standing behind him. So what if he woke up, he got 3 hours of sleep and woke up, and, you know, he got some coffee or whatever, but he wasn't feeling good that day. Do you think if he held up his hand, the cars would still stop? What if he just, you know, has a horrible day and he just doesn't feel like he's a good police officer that day at all? If he held up his hand, would it still stop? Yes it would. Better. So what does it have to do with anything when you don't feel like you're super strong and you say, devil, stop in the name of Jesus? Your feeling has nothing to do with it. What if you don't feel like saying it? See, a lot of times that's what happens. Why don't you feel like saying it? Why do you feel like saying the opposite? You're getting pressure to say the opposite. Why? Because you start speaking, you give the enemy dominion. You're not resisting. You're saying, you've already beat me. Why don't you come in and just beat my brains out some more? I can't resist you. Just give me a little bit more. I'm having a horrible day. I can't believe all this stuff is happening. I thought my boss was going to lay off me. What's going on? I can't believe I feel this sick. What do you say? You're saying this is the way it is. It's not going to change. Do you see this? This is a spiritual principle. But if you, in the middle of that is when it's the hardest, when your body's aching, or when you're frustrated at work, or you're frustrated, you know, in a relationship, to say, shut up. When you're afraid, You know what you need to do? Fear is a spirit. You say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Fear, leave in the name of Jesus. And it will. It will. It'll go. We just need to treat it just like, so this, we know this, but if you're tempted, if you're, you know, your natural tendency would be to get mad and fly off the handle. You have quick temper, naturally speaking. You know, some people have different temperaments. Naturally, they're more prone to certain things. That doesn't mean, that's not an excuse. That just means that's an area that we can give over to God and work on. But if you're tempted to get mad, the more you fly off the handle, you know, the easier it gets. The more you exercise that, the easier it gets. The easier you'll fly off the handle, the easier you'll get mad. But when you are tempted and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. There's a resistance, but if you win, it's easier to resist next time. That's how we bring things into check. Well, if you give in to fear and you just let it run rampant, I just don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know. Fear, worries fear. People don't, that's kind of a toned down version. People think it's okay to worry, but I didn't say you weren't prone to worry. I didn't say that things weren't, maybe you look at a lot of details and you're prone to try to think out how things work, but it can cross a line to where you're just worrying about everything. And you just give yourself over to it. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. The more you do that, the easier it is to do it. And you're not pushing back on it. You just think that's the way it is. But when we'll push back and say, no, I'm not going to, no. Just like you, if you were in the middle of Walmart and you had the temptation to just, you know, pick up that something that you want, a shirt or whatever, and stuff it under your shirt and walk out, you would say, no, I'm not going to do that. What is that? That's resisting it. You're saying, no, I'm not going to do it. But it's so easy and it's subtle to give in to fear. You don't want to give in to fear one iota. Say, these things are like, you just have to practice them. We don't become spiritual giants overnight. I wish we did. But just like you probably did not ride your bike perfectly the first time, you probably fell down. It's the same thing with spiritual things. But if we'll act on the word, regardless of what we feel. When you feel like saying, I'm afraid, say, no. I have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. But you are feeling like this is it. You know, my house is going to be taken, or I'm going to lose this job, or I'm not going to have enough money for this, or this sickness is going to overtake me. If we'll say, no, I am strong. I am not going to worry. Jesus said to be anxious. It says to be anxious for nothing in a different place. He said, don't worry about your life. He said, don't worry about it. So if I say, no, I'm strong right now. Oh, but you feel like worrying. I feel like it, but Jesus said not to worry, and I know he's with me. I'm just going to choose to trust him. I'm strong. Talking about turning your faith loose. You can know this. How do you turn it loose? Say the thing that God says that we're supposed to say. Something happens when we, instead of, if you say, I'm afraid, I don't know what I'm going to do, it just gets worse. You just, it magnifies it that much, and the people around you are going to feel it that much worse. But if we'll say, I'm strong, something happens. Why? Because you're releasing something, you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. The greater one inside of you. We're familiar, we went over many times. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. If we believe that the Holy Spirit is living in us right now, do you think he's afraid of anything? He's not afraid of anything. And if he's in me, and I believe God is with me, so what am I yielding to? I'm yielding to something external to me when I yield to being afraid. But if I yield to what is inside of me, I realize that the Holy Spirit's inside of me, that I'm a child of God, that greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world, that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. If I speak that out, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm yielding to God. And the anointing of God is there to strengthen me. I am giving Him right to strengthen me. That is just coming out of me. I'm strong. I'm strong. That's resisting right there, because you're saying, no, I'm strong. Doesn't matter what I feel like. I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm strong. We say it. We let it out. When you have, you're tempted to doubt. Well, I just don't know if God's going to come through. I don't know if God's real. I mean, I don't know if He's going to come through for me this time. Is there a God? Where are those thoughts coming from? Those are coming from the enemy. That's doubt. And that's running rampant in the day and age we live in. People buying into all kinds of stuff. But it's the same thing. Doubt is spiritual contraband. You should not be caught with any doubt on you. Just like you wouldn't want to be pulled over. Well, we have to be careful which drug we say now, because some of it's legal. Say cocaine, I think that's still illegal. You don't want to be pulled over with any of that stuff. That is illegal goods. You should not, as a Christian, what's another word for Christian? Believer? Believer? That means we're not to doubt. We're not to doubt. Say this. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Somebody said like this at my Bible school. He said, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. When you're tempted to doubt, where's that coming from? Well, I don't know if God's going to come through for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it. What is that? Where's that coming from? You should ask yourself, who said that? You ever ask yourself that? When all of a sudden you hear, I don't know if God, if I'm going to make it. What? Ask yourself, who said that? Seriously, who said that? It's not God. It's not the real you. You're born again spirit. Now your mind could be playing back something. But the enemy will also play thoughts in your head that'll come out first person. He won't say, you should doubt God now, this is the devil. He'll say, I don't think God's going to come through for me. I'm not going to be able to pay this. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be late on that. My boss doesn't like me. I know he doesn't. Look at the way he just looked at me. Well, we have a choice to make. Are we going to believe him, or are we going to believe God? Or in the face of that, we can say, no, I believe God. I believe God. I have the favor of God. But if you start saying, yeah, I don't know, you are giving place to it, whether we know it or not. We're giving place and giving Satan dominion over us regardless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see if we should keep going along this vein or wrap up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Let's read this a little bit and more. Same thing in the area of healing. in the area of healing. Don't say, I'm sick. Don't say, I don't know how I'm ever going to get rid of this. Now, if you're with the doctor and he pokes you and he says, does that hurt? You don't say, I have no pain in Jesus' name. He's asking you a question and you should answer it. He's asking you a natural question and you should answer. We are not talking about denial because people get confused. They're clearly sick. They're clearly fighting something, and you ask them, are you sick? And they're sniffing, no, I'm not sick. Everybody can see that you're fighting. No, that's not the proper thing. You can answer, and especially if it's in the body of Christ, especially if you're in church. Yes, I'm fighting something, but it's got to go. It's going. You don't have to lie. You don't have to be disingenuous. People have got it backwards, like if they say something. No, you can resist it. What I'm saying is, you don't say this. You're at home, or you're talking to your spouse. Man, I think I'm coming down with this. You can say it without saying it. You can say, I'm fighting something. Something is hitting me. The point is not to get hung up on legalities of what you say when you're by yourself or went to somebody else to try to look a certain way. It's when you say it and you believe it and you're yielding to it. That's the point. You're saying, I think I'm getting sick. What are you saying? Satan's dominating me. I'm going to get this. I am yielding to it. That's different. If you say, if something is hitting your body, you can say, sickness, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Yes, there are germs. Yes, there are things that are trying to hit you. That's the natural. But there is a supernatural that can crush all that, can destroy it. And that's what we're tapping into. And it's the same way you resist the devil and he has to flee from you. And regardless, if your nose is running and you've gone through two boxes of tissues and you feel like you want to lay down and you don't want to get up, in spite of that, you can resist it and say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, you leave my body. You have no right on my body. And you can start saying, I feel strong. I feel strong. I am strong in the Lord. You may not feel like it, but you can say it. You can yield yourself to it. We talked about this lady. Because the Word says, we know these scriptures, we're not going to turn to them. But Isaiah 53, 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 8, 17, by His stripes I was healed. He took my infirmities, He bore my sicknesses. The Word says that Jesus took them. I told you the story a few weeks ago. A certain minister was down in South America, and there was this lady that was a minister, and she was up in age, and she was fighting cancer or something, and she was just completely weak, completely sickly. And he went and visited her, and he knew that she knew some of these things. And he was talking to her, and she said in a whisper, I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. I can't keep anything down. I'm just so weak. And he said, I hear you. He goes, say this after me. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And she said, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he said, say it again. She said it again, softly. Said they did that for 45 minutes. By the end, she was saying, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Stuff was just rising up in her. And he said, now I want you to say this. He said, you say you can't keep any food down. He said, when you get, next time you eat, and if it comes back up, after you get done throwing up, you say, I said, I keep food down. I keep food down. And if you throw up three more times, your response after that is after you wipe your mouth. This is where the rubber hits the road. I said, I keep food down. She went and did that. He saw somebody that knew her. I can't remember how long it was afterwards. Said, did you hear about Sister So-and-so? He said, no. He said, she's gained 30 pounds. She can eat anything. And he said, well, she might want to back off that confession now. So I missed this part. He said, you start saying, I have a voracious appetite. And so she started saying that. That's what he said. He said, she might want to back off that right about now. You don't want to keep going down that way. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. But our mouths, I know it's been maligned. I know it's been made fun of. There's a reason why. People have gotten in the ditch. They do weird things. They do silly things. They take things out of, they make up stuff that God never told them to do, and they start making weird confessions. And so people, it's gotten a bad name. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. People say all kinds of stuff, but it's ignorance. Because it's a spiritual law. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Kenneth Hagin didn't write it. Kenneth Copeland did not write it. This is the way we got born again, and it's a spiritual law. And we, when we declare what God has said about us and what He's written, we are giving Him authority in our life to do what He needs to do. There's a reason why it's maligned. Because Satan wants us to shut our mouths. If we shut our mouths and we start speaking defeat, we're giving Him place. And He does not want that. And there is a spiritual law here in place.